Blog Talk Radio.
Morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, May 7th, 2012. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California. Today's show is being brought to you by abookin90days.com, a customized coaching program for heart-based coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers who want to write a book to attract more clients and increase profits. You can get your copy of the 7-Step Roadmap to Publishing Success at abookin90days.com. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, What I Learned About Life from My Dog, with my guest, Charmaine Hammond, speaker and best-selling author. But first, I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners. Now, whether you're listening live on the phone or you're there on the website live streaming, maybe you're there in the chat room, and I know a lot of you are listening to the show from the archives. In any case, I am so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell other people about it who can benefit. Thanks to modern technology, it's very easy to do that. On my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, right under my photo, you will see several ways to keep up with the show. If you click that follow button, you will get an announcement and a reminder in your email each week of the upcoming episodes. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, to get at that goal, I interview guests from all different fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, wealth creation, parenting, you name it. We've talked about many things because all of those things contribute to happiness. Today's episode is What I Learned About Life from My Dog with my guest, Charmaine Hammond, an international transformational speaker, best-selling and award-winning author, and radio host. She helps people live inspired, resilient lives, and is a leading trainer in corporate North America, helping transform workplaces. An expert in conflict management, Charmaine opened Hammond International Incorporated in 1997, a mediation and training company. For the past 8 years, she has been speaking and consulting with business and community organizations. Her passion for speaking led her to be the host of three weekly radio shows, Corporate Conversations with Charmaine, Positive Radio, spelled P-A-W-S-I-T-I-V-E, and Your Book as a Business. Charmaine is also an award-winning and best-selling author of On Toby's Terms, which we're going to be talking about today, and also Toby the Pet Therapy Dog and His Hospital Friends, and Bounce Forward. She has also been published in Chicken Soup for the Soul, What I Learned from the Dog. She's also co-authoring a new book, GPS Your Best Life. That sounds good. Her book On Toby's Terms is currently in development to become a major motion picture. She has been featured on CBC, CTV, Global TV, you name it. She has appeared on many important media and in various magazines. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today, Charmaine Hammond. Hi, Charmaine.
Hi, great to be with you today.
Well, thank you for making time to join us. This is a pretty exciting topic because the more I talk to people, the more I realize that there are a lot of pet lovers in this world.
There are.
And as a matter of fact, in the neighborhood where I live, I am the exception, because when I go out walking, almost everybody has, sometimes if not one, maybe two dogs, and I don't. And I'm sort of the odd man out by not having a pet. So it is a huge topic, and I want to start right at the beginning with what led you to write this heartwarming book On Toby's Terms. Would you tell us about that journey?
Oh, I love to talk about this. So Toby was our Chesapeake Bay Retriever. We adopted him when he was 5 from a rescue agency. And he came to us with some baggage, which we later found out about. But, you know, he was perfect for the first 6 months. And then we came home one day. My husband came home, and the house was completely destroyed. It was so bad that he called the neighbor, Heather, to come over and walk through the house with him because he thought a crime scene had occurred. And then they later found out it wasn't a crime. It was our dog, Toby.
Oh my! And you had him for 6 months, and he was well-behaved before that.
We did, and we figured, you know, I figured that he passed his probationary period with what, with us and then decided to just let loose afterwards. But this is, that's where the journey began, and, you know, I didn't know at the time that Toby came to us to be a teacher for me because he tested us in so many ways. I mean, you can just imagine coming home, your toilet tank lids are smashed on the floor, water taps are going, and everything you own has been pulled out of your closets and piled into a floor, a pile on the floor in your entrance.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I want to know how you avoided choking Toby at that point or taking him back.
I am glad you asked that. And, you know, we did consider taking him back. I have to be really honest about that. We didn't know that we were the family for him. So we called in help. We got a behaviorist named Maggie, and she came in, assessed Toby in our home, watched him with us, and she noticed that he seemed to have a very strong need to nurture us and take care of us. We sort of thought he was just a clingy dog. We had never considered that possibility. We just thought he liked to be our shadow and be with us all the time. But she perceived that as a need to nurture and take care of people. And then as she continued to watch him through the few hours she was with us, she determined that Toby was extremely bright, and he needed a job. He needed a purpose.
Wow. Like people.
Like people. You got it.
If we don't have a purpose, we act up too, don't we?
You know, we do. And what was so ironic is at the time that Maggie was telling us this, I was on my own journey trying to look at, you know, what do I want to do now in my life and how can I serve the world in even a bigger way, and what is my passion and purpose right now in my at this very moment? So for me, it was like a lightning bolt had struck me. I had this huge aha awakening. So on went the process to find this dog a job.
Oh my. So the behaviorist that you called in was a specialist in working with animals, correct?
She was. She was.
Okay. And was she able to assess this in one session, or how long did it take her to figure this out?
You know, she saw it very quickly, and how it's very interesting how she found this. She was watching Toby eat his dinner, and so you can imagine a Chesapeake Bay Retriever is about the size of a chocolate lab. In fact, he looked much like a chocolate lab.
Mm-hmm.
And so Toby was wandering around the house. He'd take a bite of kibble, wander around the house, check on Christopher, check on me, check on every single toy that he owned. Sometimes he would group his toys together, come back, take another piece of kibble, and do the same thing again. And I just thought, wow, this dog eats his food, strangely. But Maggie said it was more about a need to constantly police his home, checking on everything and everyone. And that was what really led her to that, and then watching how gentle he was. So it was ironic. Here we have this dog who's destroying our house, yet is so incredibly gentle with people, so connected to them. And that's what led her to... Yeah.
So this destructive behavior was, she interpreted that as a signal to him, from him to you, that he needed a purpose, and he was perhaps frustrated.
Yes.
At that point.
He was bored, I think, too, sometimes when we were at work, and we weren't gone for long periods of time, you know, a few hours at a time. And so she discovered that he had separation anxiety, and part of his way of dealing with that was to be busy wrecking our house or moving things. He would move things constantly, like he'd rearrange furniture or slide books in a certain way on the coffee table.
Oh my goodness.
Always needed to be doing something. Yeah. So
how did you work through that, the destructive behavior you know, to obviously, after she left, there were things you needed to do to work through that so that wouldn't happen again.
Yes. Well, I discovered that the dog training that Christopher and I had gone through with Toby and later with Maggie was not only for Toby's benefit, it was also to train us. So we some of the things that we did was little things like giving Toby a job when we were at home. For example, when we would leave for work, we'd give him a little stuffed animal that we would pull out of the closet, and we would tell Toby to take care of the animal. And he would take care of that animal for the 2 or 3 hours that we were gone. And in fact, we would come home, and this animal was sopping wet with dog goober. He'd been cleaning it the whole time.
But it
rechanneled his energy into something positive. So Maggie taught us all kinds of things. Another one was that during commercial breaks, if we were watching TV in the evening, we'd use that to play hide-and-seek with Toby. So we would hide one of his toys in a difficult area in the house to find. And he, for 3 or 4 minutes, he would, you know, search the house and not come back until he'd found that toy. And that would tire his mind so much he needed a nap after.
Wow.
It was incredible.
It's amazing. It's amazing the simple things that you did, but that until you knew what to do.
Exactly.
You didn't have access to them. You didn't realize that. So he became a teacher for you.
He did.
And what were the most important lessons that Toby taught you?
One of the most important lessons he taught was asking for help. I was a perfectionist before Toby came into our life, and I didn't know I was a perfectionist. People forgot to tell me that. I discovered through my life coach that I was a perfectionist. And here's the deal. You can't be a perfectionist and live with a dog like Toby. Something had to give, and I was so in love with Toby by this point, I had to do the changing, and it was one of the best things I could have done. So I stopped being a perfectionist, which then allowed me to ask people for help. For example, bringing Maggie in, that was a very big barrier for me to overcome, because I had to admit that I didn't have the skills to deal with this on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I had to ask for help to make it better.
Wow, that's a big lesson right there. For all of
it
us.
It is a big loss.
In our
yes.
personal lives and in our business, because trying to do it all alone, even if you're good at things, there's a limit to how much you can do. And, of course, being a perfectionist is dooms you to failure because it doesn't work. Cool. So asking for help. So what else did you learn?
Well, and certainly that lesson that happened in our kitchen when Maggie was there, the importance of purpose and passion.
Mm-hmm.
And how that can just completely change your life. And what I discovered through working with Toby was that the more on purpose he was, the better his behavior became. We got him a job at a hospital, and the more he worked and presented in classrooms at schools, the better he behaved. And what I found is the more on purpose I was and in my passion, the easier life got for me. So it was really a double win.
That's another big lesson right there that we can all, I'm just thinking of how we can apply this to our own lives, because I think this is true with humans, that if we don't have a purpose, we do kind of wander and engage in destructive behavior to ourselves and to our environment and to other things. So finding our purpose and our passion just makes life easier. And even though we joke about wanting to not work, and we all seem to think it's a great idea to hurry and get to the point where we don't have to work anymore, it's not true. That work is very much important for our happiness and our lives. Wow. So, okay, so asking for help and learning to work into your purpose and passion, were there any other lessons?
Oh, there was a couple more. He taught me an incredible amount of patience and persistence. I was a person that liked to see results quickly.
Quickly.
And with Toby, it wasn't always quick. You know, there was little steps forward, and then we'd come home and, you know, the closet was destroyed or something. And then we'd make progress, and then we'd fall back again. And I learned that sometimes we have to adjust our expectations. And I started to do that with Toby. And I think the more I focused on success rather than what was going wrong, I changed my mindset about him. and it really impacted my ability to cope in life, but I became more patient and tolerant. I also persisted longer. I discovered that sometimes as humans, we give up just before we're almost at the finish line. Yeah.
Wow, that's a huge lesson. I like the fact that you adjusted your expectations, because with Toby and with yourself, and we all do this to ourselves, we have such high expectations. And even when we have a little success, if we're so focused on perfection, we don't even reward or compliment or give ourselves credit for that success. We're focusing on all that went wrong instead of the great things that happened. That's amazing. Before we go any further, please tell listeners how they can get a hold of your book and or learn more about you, since you're a speaker also. So would you give us some contact information at this point?
Oh, I'd love to. People can follow Toby and his story and his legacy mission on his website, which is after the book on tobysterms.com. He was a very technical dog. So on tobysterms.com, and that's O-N-T-O-B-Y-S. What's that?
If he's a technical dog, I have a job for him. Okay, so wait, tobysterms.com?
That's right, on tobysterms.com. And Toby is spelled T-O-B-Y.
Okay.
And then, of course, the book is also available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and in Chapters in Canada.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Thank you. And did
you're
you
welcome.
Give us your website for speak if people are interested in having you speak?
Well, I'd love to connect with people about that. And they can reach me. My speaking website is hammondgroup.biz. That's HammondGroup.biz, B-I-Z.
Okay. That's great. Thank you so much for that, because many times people listen to the show, they get a little bit of information, but they want more. And let me go back to Toby's website. There is an S in there, T-O-B-Y-S. TERMS.com?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, this one. But no apostrophe, folks, because that won't work. It's going to be
TobyTerms.com.
No. Now, Toby has impacted thousands of lives around the world. Would you share with us how he did this?
I'd love to talk about this, because when we got Toby a job, he was volunteering every Wednesday. He did that for 4.5 years at a mental health facility.
Wow.
And the patients, some of the patients, it was beautiful. Some of them would say that they really lived for Wednesdays, that Wednesdays were their day with Toby. Mm-hmm. And so I started to see this impact, this dog, who we almost gave back at one point, was having on people's lives. But then, because I had written a book, we were doing book tours and book signings. So Toby would come in to the Barnes & Noble or the Chapters store with us, and he would do, you'll love this, he would do what's called a potograph.
I do love that. That's so cool.
We had a special ink pad for him, huh? Spring-loaded stamp made up. Yeah, it was great.
Oh, preloaded. Okay.
And that way, well, we thought, oh my goodness, if we have to put ink on his paws, first of all, it's not healthy for the dog, and second, there will be paw prints all over the store.
So
we got this great spring-loaded one. So he presses on the top of the plastic part of the stamp, and then the stamp flips over and leaves his the pre-designed paw print we had in the book. And
that's
here I was
cool.
watching. It was very cool, and what was also cool was the connection that he was having with all these children and their families at book signings. So then we started getting invited into schools to go and speak to classrooms and full school audiences, and he actually met 10,000 students across North America.
My goodness. That's amazing. And I want to get back to his volunteering at the mental health facility, because I think that there's so many facilities like that, you know, for convalescent homes and hospitals and so forth, where people are just so hungry for attention and unconditional love, and I think that's what pets can offer. So when he would go to the facility, would he kind of go to one sitting, one place where everybody would gather, or would he go room to room? How did he do it? How did you do it?
Well, we worked with one unit for the full 4.5 years, and mm-hmm. which was great. Because now, even though there were patients would change over, some would leave and be discharged, and new ones mm-hmm. would come in, we were on the same unit. What would happen is on Wednesdays, I'd put Toby in his red pet therapy vest and his red bandana. He was very dapper looking. And when we arrived to the hospital, which I should say he barked the whole way, the whole half-hour drive, he was so excited. Mm-hmm. But when we'd open the door, I would watch this dog literally, you know, change in front of my mm-hmm. eyes. He would become very focused. Mm-hmm. He wasn't easily distracted, and he just seemed to step into his purpose. He let out two loud barks as if he was telling the world, I'm here. And then slowly the patients would start to come out of their rooms. So, and when there were patients in the rooms, we would walk through the halls with the staff and go and say hello to everybody. And Toby would make it a point to greet every single person wow. every single time.
Wow. And he was content with letting people pet him and rub him, and he didn't have a problem with that?
He could not get enough of it. And in fact, you know, what amazed me, and we didn't train him to do this, he intuitively knew what people needed. So mm-hmm. there were times where some patients were nervous. He was a big dog, and they would sort of be standoffish with him. And he would just respect that need for distance. Mm-hmm. And then slowly he'd creep sideways without the patient even noticing. And before they knew it, their hand was resting on the top of their head, and he wouldn't look at them. He'd just stare straight ahead. And the patients would overcome their fear. And then other patients wanted to play with him or give him treats, and they would be more outgoing with him. And he would just respond and treat everyone accordingly.
Wow. That's mm-hmm. just amazing. I think that's such a wonderful story. And the idea, it's a lesson for all of us that finding your purpose, even sometimes in facilities, even as humans, sometimes sharing our love with other people, our time with people who aren't able to get out, for example, of places like that readily, it's such
yeah.
a wonderful gift to both. It works both ways. It gives to them and it gives back to us. And Toby figures that out.
he did. And you know, it was such a blessing for me to be involved with. I hadn't planned on that as my volunteer job. But,
sure.
It was a wonderful 4.5 years doing that with Toby. And one of the biggest rewards for me was watching how Toby, this was really, I called it therapy for the therapy dog, because he was going in there participating in their therapeutic programs.
Sure.
And at the same time, Toby was growing from this experience.
Wow. That's
mm-hmm.
amazing. Now, you've supported many pet and children-related events and charities. As a result of Toby. Could you tell us about some of those?
I would love to. Toby's done a number of things. One of the fun fundraisers that we did is for a children's program, and we had to go to jail, the pretend jail, one of those jail and bail events.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
We dressed Toby up. There's a picture of him on his website. We dressed Toby up, and they read him his rights. He was charged with doing one too many cannonballs in the swimming pool. and he escaped twice. The police, there was real police there. They thought it was quite comical. But in just a short period of time, he raised $1,400 for that group. And he's raised thousands of dollars for SPCA, Humane Society, and some of the small rescues
mm-hmm.
by we donate a portion of the proceeds of the book sales. And we've also held fundraisers to raise money. We had gone and spoken at a number of the events,
mm-hmm.
and then the book sale profits would go back to the organization.
I'm just visualizing the jail and bail behind bars. That's fun. Now, what's happening with you have a movie, a major motion picture coming out. Tell us about that.
That's so exciting. When On Toby's Terms when On Toby's Terms came out, our publisher, Betty Young's Books, sent the book to a number of celebrities and production companies, more looking for a cover quote, you know, to endorse
mm-hmm.
the book.
Sure.
And Impact Motion Pictures out of California fell in love with the book and decided they wanted to bring it to film. So they are right now, yes, which is just every author's dream, you know.
Congratulations.
Certainly something I hadn't planned of. Thank you. Thank you so much. And
so that's where are you with that? Now, are you doing the screenplay version, or someone else is going to do that?
They've written the screenplay, and it's incredible, and they're now raising the investments that are needed to be able to move into the next phase of the filming, which would be casting and the actual production. So it's very exciting. I think 2012 will be a really interesting year for us.
Yeah, will it have the same name? Are they going to keep on Toby's Terms, or have they changed the name?
They've kept the name on Toby's Terms, which really delights us for sure.
I bet, because you don't have to switch any gears in people's heads who already know about the book.
That's right.
Oh, that's perfect. Now, we're almost out of time, as you can imagine. What tips could you give pet owners? Could you give pet owners a couple of tips?
A couple quick tips for pet owners would be, if you're struggling with your dog, if you've not quite found, or any pet actually, there's great resources. Our veterinarians are wonderful supports and can recommend us to different trainers. And if your dog or cat or animal is adopted, it's great to link back with the rescue organization, because they can provide you with the supports and the referrals so that when you adopt an animal, it becomes a forever family member. And that's become one of our passions, is talking about how to make adopted or rescued animals a forever family member. Mm-hmm. And another tip would be to know that sometimes love just isn't enough. Sometimes we've got to find that animal a purpose or a job, and to make them feel worthwhile and to allow them to be the pet that they really want to be or need to be, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Those are two very important tips, because, and both of those pertain to humans as well, of course. So
you bet.
The first tip is getting help. When you recognize there's a problem, don't try to struggle alone, because, as you mentioned, even linking back to the rescue in the first place, but then to trainers and vets, who people who own pets are already seeing a vet, so to disclose to the vet and get help is very important. And then the second thing is, this is a big thing. Love isn't enough. And I would bet this is true for all of us, that we do need a purpose. We do need a job in this world. And it makes us feel fulfilled. And it helps others, and it comes back. It helps us as well. Do you have any closing words for us as we wind down to the end of today's interview?
Well, I'd just like to say thank you for the opportunity to be with everyone today. And my last comment would just be about, when you show up in your life, I learned from Toby to just show up as my best version of me, no matter how the day is going. He used to start his day with a crazy happy dance, but it doesn't look so cute when I do that. But when you show up as your best version of you, life is just so much easier and so much more enjoyable.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing this with us. And there is so much that all of us can learn, pet owner or not, about life. And, boy, isn't it amazing that sometimes we do need a pet to teach these things to us? We just can't figure it out as well otherwise. Well, you were very fortunate and blessed to have Toby in your life, and I'm sure you know that. Now, how old is Toby now?
We just lost Toby at the end of 2011. And, he continues to teach me, because he's taught me about grieving now and what it's like to deal with losing our best friend. And one of the ways that I cope with that, Flora, is being on the call with you today is so helpful for me, because I get so much joy talking about this dog and how he impacted our life.
Wow, and he's still teaching you, because now you're learning how to grieve for him, and that's another lesson.
It is.
That's amazing. Thank you so very much. We are so appreciative of this, my listeners as well, I know. And the great thing is that listeners will be able to come back and listen to this again and tell others about it. The recording of this interview will be on my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown. The show today was brought to you by abookin90days.com, a customized coaching program for hard-based coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers who want to write a book to attract more clients and increase profits. Thank you so much, Charmaine, for joining us today. I would like to invite listeners to come back next Monday May 14, 2012, at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We will have another informative and exciting show, as always. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California. I'm going to ask you to do the same thing I ask every week, and that is to have a blessed week. And remember to color your life happy.
Color your life happy.
Color.
Every day you can choose. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
Color your life happy.
Color your life.